a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
There's a base hit into right field. Jankowski will field it. Here comes Tucker. The throw cut off. Tucker safe. Astros walk it off. 10-9. What a game in the Lone Star Series.
Yainer Diaz coming up big. Had the opportunity. He does so good behind in the count.
First off, sup, I'm back. Yes, it is Paul Gallant. Second, how about last night? It's as if I never left. I think when I left on vacation 7 shows ago, the Astros were 2.5 games back of the Texas Rangers. They entered this morning 2 games back of the Texas Rangers in the AL West after last night's very fun 10-9 victory over Texas. Isn't it fun that you still don't have to take the Texas Rangers seriously? That is probably my favorite development that we've seen in these last 5 games that the Astros have played against Texas, where they are 4-1. Despite all of the things that Texas has going for it to open the year, a .273 average, an .802 OPS, first and second in baseball respectively, 589 runs, the most in baseball, a +150 run differential, the most in baseball. You still don't have to take them seriously. I mean, think about last night. Brandon Belak, not very good. Phil Maton, not very good. News to me when I got back, Yordan Alvarez still hasn't returned. I guess he's sick this time. Jose Altuve still hasn't returned. And yet, they're still able to score 10 runs. And why would you take the Texas Rangers seriously? And I want to know, guys, when I was gone, did we hear from our friend Tab, the Rangers fan? Because we still haven't heard of him, right? We still have not heard from him. I want to hear from him. But you don't have to take this team seriously. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Rangers aren't very good at pitching. You take a look at some of their numbers, they're in the middle of the pack across baseball. And I think the assumption you have to make is that when the Astros get Yordan Alvarez back, Jose Altuve back, they're going to have a very good chance to overtake Texas altogether, perhaps run away with the AL West as they've done. But here's where I'm going to be a little bit of a Debbie Downer, because again, I've been gone for 7 shows or so. They have to win the next 2 games of this series, I think. I really do feel like you got to sweep Texas here. I looked ahead at the next month up to August 24th that the Astros play. Jesus! Did you see the schedule? Sean Mapes behind the glass wearing your Sugarland Space Cowboys hat.
Did I see the schedule? I know that it's difficult.
It is very difficult. 2 more games against the Rangers.
Easy.
That's true. Those are actually easy games now. The Rangers, who are 59-42, that's easy. They host the Rays for 3. Who are 61-42, but now back in second place.
Yeah, they've been like under .500 for like a month now.
Okay, is that easy as well?
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember they started the season like 15-0. Okay. So like, so minus 15 wins, that's the record since then.
Okay, fine. Okay, we don't take
but
those
still,
two teams seriously.
They're still good, but like
they're not that good.
Yeah, they're scuffling. If we're doing Tampa radio, they're like, oh, bleep, we have to play the Astros.
That's a good point. They host Cleveland for 3. That's the worst team they're going to play over the course of the next month. 49-51. In New York for the first Yankees series of the season for 4. New York is 53-47. They also are in last place. But hey, they are 53-47.
Easy.
That is true.
Especially if Judge isn't back.
Okay, are you going to say this one, Sean Mapes, behind the glass, is easy? In Baltimore against the now first place Orioles for 3, as we completely overlook the Rangers because we don't take them seriously. 61-42. Baltimore's in first place in the American League altogether.
Easy.
Easy, okay.
Yeah, when the Astros come to town, it's playoff-like atmosphere. What has the Baltimore Orioles ever won the playoffs?
That's true.
It's a whole bunch of 19-year-olds.
Right. The last time I think they were in the playoffs was when that little bastard Yankee fan caught the home run ball that was not a home run. Remember that?
Was that Steve Bartman? No, I don't remember that.
No, some little, like, some...
I know it was, like, 2015-ish was the last time?
Yeah,
14-ish.
I mean, some little, you know what, like, Yankee fan, who of course, had his, like, white T-shirt underneath, even though he's eight, like, it was a tank top, he had a gold chain somehow. Did he steal it? Who knows? Yankees jersey, the backwards hat. Yeah, that's the last time the Orioles were relevant. I want to say that was 96 or 1997.
Oh, I was giving him 2015.
No.
There's a series against the Blue Jays where they didn't put their like best closer into the game.
Okay.
Because they weren't like winning in extra innings. So their closer just kept sitting on the bench and their fans were like freaking out.
Okay. That makes sense. I feel like that's – and the other things that we've heard about Baltimore essentially over the last 25 years – and again, we're looking ahead of the schedule because we don't take this seriously. There's the Wire. There's an Orioles game in the Wire.
Yeah.
Jimmy and Bunk take the kids to go watch the Orioles. And Jimmy's ex-wife, who's met a suit, decides that she's going to go too. And they're basically sitting behind home plate. And Jimmy, being the bastard dad that he is, decides to make the kids sit up with him in the nosebleeds as opposed to letting them sit up front. Other games that the Astros have over the course of the next month, three against L.A., who is at least plus 500, even though you don't take them seriously either. The Miami Marlins are in second place at 54-47 in the NL East. I guess that doesn't really matter because the Braves are running away with that thing. The 500 Mariners, they have three games against them. Maybe that's the easiest series ahead. You got Jared Keldick crying after breaking his foot kicking a Gatorade. I relate to that, but I've never actually injured myself throwing a temper tantrum. I can't believe that hasn't happened to this point in my life. And then you got four games against the Boston Red Sox, who are at the very least playing okay, right? They're 53-47. It's funny that they and the Yankees are at the same level when the Yankees clearly should be a contender this year and the Red Sox clearly should not be because they've all of a sudden acted like pores for the last 3 years.
Yeah, basically the AL East standings are, if you just take the standings from when I was like a kid watching baseball and just flipped it upside down.
Pretty much.
It's just like, oh yeah.
Yeah, the Orioles and Rays.
Orioles
and
Rays
place.
Are running away with it. Toronto's still third place, which always felt like they're third place. And then the Yankees and Red Sox.
Okay, so again, I'm looking ahead. I'm not even taking the Rangers seriously the next couple of games. I do think they have to win these next two games because the schedule does get difficult. But considering that, again, surprise to me, your boy's back after 7 days on the radio off and essentially 12 days away from Houston, that both Jordan Alvarez and Jose Altuve aren't back and they're two games back of the Rangers, that's pretty damn good.
And kicking the Rangers' ass, like, when they play.
Yeah.
I saw a report that Julio Morales made during the game between whistles that Jordan is expected to be back in the Rangers series at some point the next 2 days.
Do you believe that?
No, because he was expected to be back on Monday when I went to the Sugar Land Space Cowboys game on Friday. Over the course of a weekend, he got pushed back a day.
It's probably going to get pushed back again. You know what, though? It's not the end of the world. And let's give you a good old-fashioned baseball take here. Kyle Tucker has earned the extension. And he's earned the extension, I think, at the expense of Alex Bregman, who also did play well last night. But if you're taking a look at the money that you're going to need to give up over the next couple of years, man, Tucker is once again playing like he did in 2021 when he was a fringe MVP guy. I mean, he's in the top 10 in most categories across baseball, or close to it. Eighth in batting average, 11th in runs batted in, 11th in OPS. I feel like you got to pay him. You're not paying Alex Bregman. No offense to Bregman, but he's one of the guys that's been not where you need him to be this year as the Astros offense has floundered a lot of the year. He and Jeremy Peña are the two guys that you should be pointing your fingers at the most. And then you have Chaz McCormick, who crushed it last night. It's pretty funny that Aroldis Chapman, who I thought was like pitching in Singapore or something like that, is actually in the major leagues and that he came in a game against the Houston Astros and this happened.
Chaz has driven in three already. Could he double it up? Deep to left. Gone. Oh, off the top of the wall. Off the top of the wall. In play. Here comes Abreu. He's going to score. They're going to call it a home run. We're tied up at nine.
Hey, Ma. Get the meatloaf.
So when I left for Boston, was up there for a wedding in Portland, hung out with my dad, my sister, some high school friends, my godson, blah, 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 blah. Chaz McCormick was hitting .257 with an OPS of .796. He is now hitting .282, a .902 OPS. And I think the thing that we got to keep in mind, because there's been a lot of bitching and moaning about Dusty Baker lineups on a daily basis, McCormick has started every single game since July 5th. Every single game. And of course, there was an all-star break in the middle of all that. But Dusty Baker, when asked about whether or not he likes Chaz McCormick, kind of scoffed at it and said, look, like he's been dealing with an injury. And now that he has been ramped up, look at him. I mean, all of a sudden, I saw a surprising tweet from Jeremy Branham, who may have been trolling, but I thought the information was at the very least interesting, like comparing the numbers of George Springer since he left the Astros and Chaz McCormick, and a little bit of hyperbole going on, especially with the way McCormick's hitting of late. But McCormick's hitting the cover off the effing ball, and Dusty's playing him every single day. Now, there are some reasons for that, just given the Astros' injury situation. He's still playing Martin Maldonado a lot. At least Yainer Diaz is getting some reps as designated hitter. I think the real question is what happens when Yordan Alvarez gets back. But Tucker and McCormick are carrying this team right now. Can they do it over the course of this next month? They're going to have to continue, I think, a lot of this hot play. I imagine there's going to be a bit of a ramp-up period for Yordan, or maybe he just comes back and does what you always expect him to do. I would imagine the same thing for Jose Altuve. But right now, got to feel pretty damn good about the Astros to the point where you're totally overlooking the Texas Rangers, who they are in the midst of a series with.
I just want to like reinforce the fact that when you went on vacation, Chaz McCormick was like kind of like, meh, he should be playing more, but ultimately, like, it's still Chaz McCormick. Since now that you're back, last week when Dell was filling in for you, we had a conversation of, do you include Chaz McCormick in a Shohei Ohtani trade? And my answer was no.
No, you can't. Can't do it.
I was like, he's the third best hitter on the team.
Plus, Shohei Ohtani, can he handle the bright lights? We love him, but can he handle the bright lights of Minute Maid Park? Statistically, it's been proven.
Luckily, he won't have to pitch against the Astros if he's on the Astros. But that's just where we're at with Chaz McCormick now, where it is like he is untouchable. Like, you cannot trade him. What's the point of trading him? You're going to get a worse player in return.
And you know what? Maybe it was being a little bit too optimistic to think that with the World Series he had and the playoffs that he had, that he'd be able to continue what he's been doing. But he has. And it was interesting going into the year. I think we all weren't 100% sure. Wait, is Chaz McCormick the everyday center fielder? He probably should be. Now it's gotten to the point where, as Sean is saying, you don't want to trade him. And also to the point where he has to play every single day. He has been hitting the absolute cover off the ball. And hopefully it lasts. Hopefully it's not going to be like with Mauricio Dubon, where he's come back to earth a little bit. 713-780-3776 to call in or text into the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can join us on Twitch as well. Hi, Twitchers. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Do you take the Rangers seriously? Tab, where are you at? And I did something today that means I'm more manly than you. What is it? Oh, you'll hear it on the other side. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Out there in center field for the Astros, and Leody wanted to make his cousin proud with that catch. Just missed a diving attempt, went off his glove.
Man, I kind of liked the Whistler last night. Maybe this is a zag, but I kind of liked the Whistler last night. What? Sean's shaking his head. Sean, that guy was clearly trying to help the Astros out. He was doing it whenever what's-his-face for the Rangers was pitching.
It was so annoying.
No, it wasn't.
I muted the sound, and then I'd unmute it when a play happened.
He was trying to help his team out. If you are the hero in the crowd who was whistling, I salute you. Because you care. You know what this series means. It's the battle for the silver boot.
Well, that's true.
It's huge, Sean. And look at you turning your nose up at a fan who is trying to distract a pitcher.
Yeah. Dude, at the very least, like, AT&T Sports Southwest, can we, like, set the microphone that isn't, like, right under his lips, apparently, where he's whistling directly into our ears at home?
Wrong. Give him a microphone. Why are you sighing? It helped.
Yeah, it didn't help me.
Fine, but there was an at-bat. Alex Bregman's at the plate. And what's-his-face McGee for the Rangers throws a pitch to Bregman. And what did Bregman do? Hit it just out of the outstretched arms of the center fielder for Texas. Come on. I think we got to give this guy a medal. Or an actual whistle. Because if that's his actual whistling power, then what would he do with, like, a referee whistle? Anyway, come on. This happened last night, Sean. This is a good... Yeah. And guess what happened after that? Bregman, boop. Bregman got a hit. Now, Mauricio Dubon, less successful with the whistling, and I do think it's only a matter of time before that bastard John Boy goes online again and accuses the Astros of actually trying to whistle in signs, but I like the whistling. We need more Astros fans who care, show up on time, etc. And that guy cares. And you know what? I bet he had one of those $40 El Tiempo margaritas to get him there. Paul Gallant here for El Tiempo margaritas, if you pay me. And
annoying whistling.
What's wrong with whistling? There's nothing wrong.
No,
with
you can't say it wasn't annoying. It annoyed most of the Astros watching public. So you cannot say it was not annoying.
JWatts3218 says, go back out of town. You are garbage. Cancel this show. Sir, I'm sorry that you're not a good Astros fan. And it's fine, right? Like, some of us aren't about holding the Astros to the very lofty standard that we hold them to. It's fine. You're soft, maybe a coward. You can call in if you want. We can have a conversation about this. Hopefully you're better than the majority of people who have called on trying to confront me. But I'm sorry. You're just a bad fan. And honestly, your kids should be ashamed of you because of the lessons in loyalty that you're not teaching them. Because I know why this guy's doing it. It's because, like, he wishes he could whistle that hard.
You're saying the texter's lashing out? Well, from what you read, there's nothing specific about, like, you should leave town because of your whistling take. That could just be, in general, get this clown off the air.
Right. Well, no, it's definitely the whistling. Well, no, he's getting defensive now. He's like, well, better fail than you. Oh, nice comeback, dude. Okay. See, I still got it, man. I'm gone for 11 days. I can still piss people off. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Whoa, this is an interesting subject line. Ryan's in Channelview. Ryan, what's up?
What's going on, Papa Top Paul?
Yo.
Hey, so what happened? I thought Dell was taking over this show. I don't understand. Can you fill me in on the loop?
I don't know, man. I was so drunk the last 11 days. Like, I really have no idea. I mean, I heard that I was suspended, and I was like, oh, maybe I should come back and play that up. Like, was one of Paul Gallant's Tucker Paulson bits a little bit too racist? You know, like, did Paul Gallant have a Tucker Paulson bit about how, like, he refuses to watch the Barbie movie because no one in that movie has a gender, and he's really big into the idea of two genders? It could have been that. But no, I mean, I was just gone.
It's because you were actually watching Oppenheimer and you stood up and started clapping when they bombed Hiroshima.
You're I did.
Nagasaki too. Get him too.
But no. Because, Sean,
escorted out.
No, actually, because it meant that my grandfather was not going to have to drive one of the landing boats that he drove to every single, because he was in the Navy in the Pacific Theater. He was not going to have to drive one of those things onshore in Japan. Like, Jesus, that was why I cheered. I actually haven't seen the movie yet.
It's good.
It's good?
It's good.
3 hours.
Yeah, it's good though. You feel it at the end.
Okay.
You feel it at the end a little bit. You're like, oh, this could have, you could tighten up the end a little bit, but it was. It was intense.
It was intense, okay. And look, there's going to be a lot of me kind of resetting things because it is my first day back in a bit. Another text. Patrick Creighton said I was suspended for rooting for the Love You Blue in Tennessee, kind of like your Seattle Mariners Supersonics. No, I'm pretty sensitive on the you can't wear the colors of another team when you've left town. And again, like, it's kind of on brand for the Adams to be as petty as they've been. I kind of get it to an extent. If someone was coming after your dad and roasting him and talking trash about him all the time, would you be petty back in return? Yes. That doesn't make it right. But I think that's what Amy Adams Strunk is doing here with this. She just wants to give double birds to the city of Houston. Like that, she does, to her credit, do the thing that I think that unfortunately sucks for a lot of those ex-Houston Oiler players. She at the very least honors them. But it's weird because like they shouldn't be honored in Tennessee where no one was aware of the NFL until literally 1999 when the Titans made it to the Super Bowl. Because all of that state knew was like Tennessee Volunteer football. Now all of a sudden they're acting like they're NFL fans. And their fans online are some of the stupidest people I've ever met. Specifically the ones that still live here in Houston. I don't know what's wrong with you people. You stuck with that team? The Chokers? Like that team is known for choking. And you stuck with them when they left you. Like think about what a loser you have to be a Titans fan living in Houston. They left you and whenever they were here, they disappointed you. That's what I don't get.
That was my take on the subject when obviously the uniforms came out and Patrick asked me like if I was upset about it. I was like, listen, I was not alive when the Oilers were in Houston. So to me, all it is like the history, which like other than Earl Campbell, it's like, who cares? Like, what are you?
There's some good, though.
But the only thing I've found this out, and I really like this weekend, like crystallized it for me. The only reason we care about the Oilers' history being in Tennessee is just because of how good the uniforms are.
Exactly.
If the uniforms were the current Texans uniforms, no one would care. It's because it's one of the great uniforms.
Thank you. You're so right. They are fire uniforms. Like you can't deny it. And that's what sucks the most. Like,
yeah.
They get to wear it and we don't. It's legitimately just that. You can admit from time to time that you're jealous of the clothes that somebody else wears. You can. Like you're jealous of the clothes I wear, typically. And that brings me to why I'm more manly than all of you. So due to a rash of issues that I've had with a insurance company that rhymes with State Farm, I'm without a car right now. I thought when I came back that I would have my rental extended since it took them a really long time to get me a valuation of a car that was pretty effing clearly totaled, which you could see from the first picture. So I assumed when I got back, I was going to have 3 more days to rent the car. I was wrong. I actually went to the rental place and State Farm's like, oh yeah, we never told you that. And I said, no, I called you on the phone and legitimately like double checked with you 3 times because I was shocked that you guys were actually extending an olive branch of sorts. So your boy walked to work today. Yeah, I walked to work. I'm wearing an athletic shirt, athletic shorts. I walk to work, and I'm going to walk back from work.
That's the crazy part to me.
Why? Why is that crazy?
I don't know if you've checked the temperature lately.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be walking on the pavement of Westheimer, or however. Westheimer. Right?
What's wrong? It's a mile and a half walk. It's a mile and a half walk. I only drink, if you're watching on Twitch.tv,
yeah, you rationed out your water.
I only drank that much water. I only drank about 200 milliliters of water on the way. Yeah, I'm using the metric system because that's apparently all I got.
I thought you were going to say like, you know, like a 20% of the water or something. Nope, you went metric system. Also, we have water here, so you can top that off before you leave.
But, I mean, I am the most manly person at ESPN 97.5. You got BK with the first pitch that apparently is the worst thing that's ever been thrown. I haven't seen it yet. We'll watch it live on the air at some point during the show just to get an honest, like, in-the-moment evaluation. And, you know, the wheelhouse, the pound-for-pound athleticism-wise, just not looking so hot these days. I mean, at least Cody Stoops was good at flag football. He's gone.
I was going to say, overall, the wheelhouse just in, I don't want to say shambles, but it's
a shambles. Sean, serious question. Should we, like, after the show's done, should we walk in and should we say, like, hey, you know, how about we get a big raise, We get the 3-7 slot. How about that? I'm just asking the question. It's not something I'm planning behind the scenes to do.
No, if you're
if
you're planning behind the scenes to do it, you wouldn't be saying it on the radio.
Maybe I'm just that emboldened.
Yeah, maybe this is all a power play. Maybe we're playing 5-dimensional chess.
Oof. Wait, E315 at twitch.tv/ESPN975 says that did BK say he could throw 80-85 a while back? That sounds completely unbelievable.
I'll just say BK says a lot of things. But I'll leave it at BK has said a lot of things. He was on the air for 4 hours every day, I think, last week with a rotating cast of fill-ins with Jake on vacation, Cody no longer with us at the station.
RIP, he's dead. He's dead to us.
True.
But check out his blog.
To you, he's literally dead because you had no idea.
I didn't even know. I remember I came back and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wait a second, Cody's gone? Jesus. What is going on here?
Yesterday when he tweeted out his links and stuff, you were probably like, wait, what?
Well, I did retweet it, but I was like, oh, what? Damn. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We do have Pena patiently waiting on the north side before we talk a little NFL. Pena, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Papa Top Paul?
How you doing, bro?
Hey, so there's only three things guaranteed in life: death, taxes, and the role of this Chapman getting mollywopped in the juice box. Thank you. Have a great day.
It really was so good to see him again. Only to see him give up a home run to Chaz McCormick.
It's poetic.
It could not have been better. I legitimately thought he was pitching in like a Korea, and not even the good one. I wasn't even sure.
He was with Kim Jong-un and Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
And Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. Absolutely. BK just texted in, not once have I said that. Okay. That makes sense. I don't believe that. See, I bet Joel would say that. I do not think BK would say that.
Joel's probably touched 90.
Honestly, I have no idea.
Also, I feel like today is an all-time Paul's going to get duped by something, not just on the internet.
By Ballsack Sports?
On Twitch. Like, I feel like...
Oh, yeah, they could make up anything.
They can say, hey, so-and-so from the station said this. Oh, and someone come to air with it.
Someone commented, and I know that they are trying to get under my skin. One of my IG followers, he said, oh, man, Dell was talking some trash about your football playing skills. So that's why I walked to work today. Because I wanted to show everybody that I'm still the biggest athlete at this station. It's a low bar. It's a really, like, it's just John Granato, and he golfs, right? Like, Granato would definitely drink me under the table. If we're talking, like, actual athleticism, at this point, I would hope that I'm more athletic than John Granato. It's a low bar to clear, but I had to show my toxic masculinity today, so I walked to work. So there you go, guys. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, we're all over the place, and maybe Jay Watts will get his wish. Maybe we will be off the air for good by the end of today's show because he'll say something stupid. But up next, we have to honor, as we are 44 days away from the start of the NFL season, probably the greatest drinker in NFL history. You'll hear who he is next. But first, let me tell you about my friends at the Circa Resort and Casino. Guys, this place is my favorite place in Las Vegas, and I am not making that up. If you've been to the Circa Resort and Casino, you would know that there are all sorts of extremely cool things there, whether it's that massive pool that they have outside where you've got TVs to watch any game that you want. It's amazing. September, October, during football season. They also have stadium seating inside as well, but guess what? They have a way for you to make all sorts of money with two huge football contests. First, you have the Circa Million with $6 million in guaranteed prizes. You pay $1,000, you go to Vegas, you make a maximum of 5 entries, you pick 5 teams against the spread every week. The winner takes home $1 million. The entry that does the worst wins $100,000. So, I mean, you could try to lose the whole thing. And there are quarterly and season-long prizes as well. Plus, you have the Circa Survivor Contest with $8 million guaranteed to the winner, $1,000 per entry. You just got to go to the Circa Resort and Casino, make the entry, and then boom, you do everything from here. It's so fun. You can make so much money. And on top of that, like, this is my favorite place to go in Las Vegas. It's the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Join that Circa Million and Circa Survivor Challenge.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Get hype!
The countdown to the NFL season continues on the Paul Gallant Show.
This is a very pro-drinking show, and a shout-out, as we are 44 days away from the start of the NFL season, to Washington Redskins legendary running back, John Riggins, who, of course, had that touchdown run against the Miami Dolphins in the Super Bowl, but also has maybe the best story of an athlete getting absolutely obliterated in front of very important people of all time. January 30th of 1985, John Riggins was set to attend the Washington Press Club's annual event, Salute to Congress. So, Riggins was seated with Sandra Day O'Connor, a Supreme Court justice, in addition to, I think, a governor, Virginia Governor Chuck Robb. So, he saw them. Sits down and says, "Gubernator, we're to be seated at the same table tonight." As he sits down, John has the entirety of the two bottles of wine that were at the table. Two more wine bottles are brought to him. John spills the wine bottles all over the table. Sandra Day O'Connor had to leave because she had an early commitment the next morning. Riggins approached her seat, put his arm around her husband, looked over at the first female justice in history, and uttered this, "Come on, loosen up, Sandy baby, you're too tight." We're not done with John Riggins at this one night, because as it continued, Riggins would fall asleep on the floor during Vice President George H.W. Bush's speech. And he was just out for 45 minutes to the point where people checked on him to make sure he was breathing. He snored, was asleep for 45 minutes. He eventually got up, was dragged out feet behind the VIP door. Shout out to John Riggins, and shout out to the Joe Gibbs era of Washington Redskins football. They had a clubhouse at the team facility used for drinking and hanging out. It was called the 5 o'clock club. So this was a place for players, coaches, and members of the training staff to gather and enjoy a drink and hang out. And you had John Riggins there regularly, plus some of the other guys that were on that team, the Hogs, the offensive line that were famous during that era of Redskins football. Jeff Bostic, Russ Grimm, Joe Jacoby, Mark May, who you might remember from always getting in shouting matches on ESPN with Lou Holtz. What a time. They should change their name to the Hogs.
They should.
The Hogs was always the name that they should have changed to. There's a historic link to past teams. Burgundy and gold would make sense for a hog or a boar or whatever the hell they would use for a logo. That was always the move. I Commanders is such a lame nickname. Washington football team was even better than this.
Yeah. Also, with John Riggins' legendary drinking, I think of Tim Riggins from Friday Night Lights. Do you think that's why he was named Tim Riggins?
That might be, because
he would show up to practice drunk, and they're like, "Well, we have a fullback that's going to show a white fullback that's going to show up to practice drunk."
I think you're right.
Let's name him after John Riggins.
You'd have to ask the creator of Friday Night Lights, but I think you're onto something there, Sean. And the guy in the movie that Riggins is based off of and in real life is Don Billingsley. And if you've watched the Friday Night Lights movie, that's the guy that Tim McGraw famously duct tapes a football to his chest because he fumbled the ball in the game while he is in the midst of, like, making whoopee. Like, he goes out, makes a weird comment about this girl, "You've grown up," and then proceeds to duct tape his son, who's probably, you know, half-mast while he's in his boxers. Yeah. To a football. Well, he pulled up his boxers and stuff. So it wasn't like, it could have gotten a little bit weirder there. Anyway, guys, a bad 24 hours for running backs. Remember when Saquon Barkley said that he wasn't going to show up for the start of the season? Well, he signed a one-year, $11 million contract today. Not quite Jaylen Brown's five-year, $304 million contract in the NBA. So good to know that the running back Zoom conference, you know, just as important as Yalta was in World War II. It's good to see that this led to literally nothing except for probably an overreaction and overcorrection to seeing Nyheim Hines get hit by a jet ski yesterday and be out for the season.
Do you know how much the running back franchise tag that Saquon Barkley would have played on?
I'm guessing more than $11
million. No, no. God,
less?
No. It was like $10 million,
though. Oh, okay. So they're giving him a little bit more.
Yeah, it was like basically a one-year contract for $10 million. And he was like, you know what? Call it $11 and we're good.
Okay.
I'll show up. 1 year. He didn't get any extra security. It's just like, yeah, just bump me up a little bit.
We're going to go over, Sean, at 11:15, all the takes that I missed out on, having been gone for almost the past 2 weeks. We will talk about running backs there. I have a very quick take on running backs that I'll share with you right now, though. Look, they don't grow on trees in the way that some people online claim. There are some running backs who truly are better than everybody else in their respective field. This idea you can just find a guy. We saw it last year. Yes, they found Damian Pierce, the Texans did, in what, the third, the fourth round? But at the same time, you're going to be really lucky if you find someone that special that late. The problem is, you can't give these guys a second contract. Even I'm waving the white flag on that. I used to believe you do give these guys contracts. We saw it with Ezekiel Elliott. That was a terrible idea. You can't give these guys long-term contracts. And look, it just sucks. But this is the market. There is no correction for this. These NFL teams are operating correctly, and I feel bad for these running backs. There are some guys who truly are special, but there's also a ton of guys who are interchangeable who barely have careers that last 2-3 years. So that's where I'm at with running backs. It's a shame, but that is the reality. I mean, Saquon Barkley was going to sit out for the season, and it's not even training camp opening day, right? And he signed for 1 year and barely over the franchise tag allotment. They have no leverage, and it sucks. I feel bad for him.
Also, like a guy like Saquon Barkley, it's like, so he gets drafted number 2 overall in 2018, which, by the way, last time that's ever happening. Mm-hmm. And then he's good for the Giants. Really, the reason their offense even works is because of Saquon Barkley.
Not Daniel Jones, although Daniel Jones did play well last year.
Yes, he played better, but if you take Saquon, like, they're built around the running threat of those two guys. He did so. He gets drafted number 2. He's good for every year that he plays. He's like probably what, like 24, 25. He's up for an extension, and his team's like, nah, we're good. Like that is insane. That's the state of play right now for the running backs. Is that their team's just like, yeah, we know that like you've been awesome. You're high. You know, came in highly touted. 1 year, $11 million.
There's a pretty good chance that Damian Pierce has one contract with the Texans, and we already liked him last season, but there's a very good chance that it's just one. And it sucks. I feel for them, but it's such an injury-ravaged position, and the way Pierce plays, I mean, you're almost expecting him to get hurt. Hell, he got hurt last year. That's why they shut him down at the end of the season. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. C.J. Stroud got a contract from the Houston Texans yesterday, fully guaranteed up at front. My question to you, how would you handle being paid an amount of money like that all at once? Would you actually, I don't know, make it? We'll discuss. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Some other things did happen today that we will touch on that are fairly significant. Bronny James was reported to have had a cardiac arrest, I think during a warm-up practice at USC. Hope he's doing okay. Of course, people have already had takes about it. Sean and I were making like jokes like, who's going to be the first person to have the absolute worst take on this and somehow tie it back to the vaccine? Well, guess what? It seems like it was Elon Musk. So how about that? That's neato. Also, you saw Jaylen Brown get a $305 million contract over 5 years. That's the biggest contract in NBA history. So any chance of him joining the Houston Rockets, which at one point seemed like a possibility with Ime Udoka jumping aboard, that seems to be completely gone. And then on top of that, you had this happen yesterday, which I don't think is a big story as much as it's just different. The Houston Texans, for the first time in their history, have given out a contract that is entirely guaranteed at signing with all that money given right away. They signed C.J. Stroud to a four-year, fully guaranteed $36.2 million contract with 100% of the money being paid up front. So, first off, is C.J. Stroud being paid too much? Should we zag?
Yeah, I mean, fully guaranteed. No outs.
Right. But it's a rookie contract. The funny thing about rookie contracts now is that there actually used to be a little bit of drama with rookie contracts. But now there's an expectation that it's going to get done. And anyone who thinks that it's not going to get done is either not on top of it or is deliberately trying to mislead people for the sake of clicks and stuff. I saw a couple of people online that were doing that, by the way. Is C.J. Stroud's contract going to get signed? And these are people that are supposedly trusted when it comes to covering the Texans. And I'm like, okay, you should be banned.
Or cynically, I'm like, because of how the calendar falls when these holdouts reach like a point to where it's like, oh, wow, this is a kind of a long time where he's, because he didn't even hold out. It was just a long time he's gone unsigned. I'm like, is this like, this, I know this isn't a big deal. Are they only making a big deal because A, like you said, they don't know, or B, because it's July 23rd and they need something to like
that?
I can put Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud in a headline.
Yep.
I can put that in a headline
and people will click on it. Right. Yeah. Like that's the only thing that you should take away from that is this was going to happen. And my real take on C.J. Stroud at all as Texans training camp starts tomorrow is that he should be working with the ones from the get-go. There's no point in doing anything with Davis Mills. Anyone who has a position to the contrary, you need help.
Stop.
We're done with Davis Mills. Yes, stop. Get help, Sean. Check yourself in somewhere. Institutionalize yourself. If you even want to bother with more Davis Mills, just leave. And look, there is an element of every single player on this team has to earn their spot, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada. But C.J. Stroud has already earned his spot by default of us having to have had having to watch Davis Mills last year. Like, by default, it's over. It is. It is over. Yes, players can improve. Is Davis Mills going to improve? So just start it with the ones.
I don't know. This four-year, $36 million fully guaranteed contract. Oh, maybe he has to spend a year watching, learning some things behind Davis Mills. The Texans, at one point, the Texans are also like, yes, fully guaranteed. We're locked in for 4 years. Yes, take our money, C.J. Stroud. On the other hand, well, you'd have to earn you have to earn some time here, kid. It's like, it's a very hard thing to say with a straight face of like, yeah, no, he's going to be the backup. And, you know, let's see how he does against Case Keenum before he goes up against Davis Mills. It's like, also, our front office just gave him a fully guaranteed contract. The first in franchise history.
By the way, we have a couple of people, Sean, saying, well, actually, it was just the signing bonus that was guaranteed. Look, I'm just reading what Adam Schefter tweeted, okay? I just got back from vacation. Let me kiss the ass of some of these super agents the same way that Adam like massages gently their bum-bums, okay? Can we get that? Can I do that? Look, I need to build up my credibility with agents so that I, too, can look like I will completely kiss the ass of all of them when some ridiculous contract is reported before we even figure out that a four-year, $50 million contract or, say, a four-year, $72 million contract that Brock Osweiler got was actually only a two-year, $36 million contract.
Okay, so the exact report, and unfair of you to attack my guy Adam Schefter like that. It was Ian Rappaport who tweeted out at Rapsheet, the Texans and quarterback C.J. Stroud have agreed to terms for his four-year rookie contract, and he gets $36.3 million overall, with a signing bonus of $23.38 million, all fully guaranteed.
So Rap Sheet gave the correct one.
Yeah, no, he says
Schefter
all
did not.
He says all guaranteed after giving two different numbers. So it's very hard to say. So is it the signing bonus that's all guaranteed, or all the money? The word that comes after overall, is that all guaranteed? So it is confusing. Thank you, David Mulligetta, for writing this tweet for
Adam Schefter.
No, this is Ian Rappaport.
The Adam Schefter tweet, Sean, I that is copied and pasted into the into the notes. He tweeted out number two overall pick CJ Stroud and the Texans reached agreement on a 4-year, fully guaranteed $36.2 million contract. 100% of the money is paid up front. He wrote that.
That's even more unclear, because that makes it seem like he got $36 million yesterday.
And look, I know we're confusing the hell out of everybody listening right now.
Listen, CJ Stroud's going to be the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. The contract does not matter.
Right, that's it.
He's going to be making a rookie sale contract.
But this is what I started thinking. Say you were paid $36.2 million up front. Because that's one of the options that you get if you win the lottery. We've seen Powerball go up to $1 billion. I don't know if anyone won the Mega Millions
I don't know about Mega Millions, but someone won the $1 billion.
I know that.
In California.
Because I bought a ticket every single time. And Massachusetts makes it very difficult to buy lottery tickets.
We were very close to having you never come back.
We were. Sorry, everybody. So I thought to myself, okay, should I get the lump sum or should I get it in installments? And I think you get it essentially in installments for the rest of your life. And I think the remainder of the money is paid after you pass away. Say you are, I don't know, up there in age or something like that. And I've always believed, no, I would do the lump sum because I already know what I'm going to do when I win the lottery. Someone actually commented here, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Nope, this is a text. It's from Eric the driver. If you ever suddenly come into a very large amount of money, clear your head first with clarity of a you-know-what kind. And I don't think that's bad advice from Eric the driver, but I've already known what I'm going to do. Like, I know it, and I'm doing the lump sum. And a lot of you think I can't handle it. And I say, you're probably right. But I also say, kiss my grits, because I like to think that I would be able to make it, say I were to win the lottery or get paid, hell, just $36.2 million up front. I think I would be able to handle it.
That's the thing with the lump sum. Like, yes, I'm sure all the accountants that listen to the show their fingers are bleeding because of how quickly they're saying, "No, take the payments, take the payments."
No, shut up, accountants.
Yeah, what you're not understanding. Yes, the numbers all make sense. How cool would it be to open up your Chase account and see $1 billion in it?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I'm literally...
You can't put a price on how awesome to see all those commas would be.
Sean, I would literally go to the bar and just hold that up in front of women. I would just say, hey, see what's in my bank account? And we'll see what they do. And look, some people love for more than money or looks.
I want to be taken advantage of, is what you're saying.
100%. I want all of a sudden, and look, that could end very poorly.
You
next thing I know, I could be just like Nick Cannon, but unintentionally.
you listen to Gold Digger by Kanye West, and you're like, talk about champagne problems.
Right.
You're like, yeah, where can I find me one?
What's the first dumb thing you would buy? You get $36.2 million. So if you got $36.2 million, you have to be somewhat realistic, right? You do want to manage all of it. What's the first stupid thing that you would buy?
First stupid? Yeah, because it is like, I don't know, I'd buy a house. But that's not stupid.
I would buy, Sean, I would buy the most expensive yacht that I could where I'd still have $10 million left over, and I would just live on the yacht.
So you'd buy a $26 million yacht.
Whatever I can get for $26 million as a boat, I would get that. And then I would have $10 million left. Now, this is probably going to mean I'm not going to last very long.
No, but
I'm probably...
You already have the living situation figured out.
Yeah.
If you learn how to fish, they'll eat for the rest of your life.
I could go... Now, there are certain places where if you're in international waters, you might have to deal with pirates. So that means I would have to hire security or something like that. But is there a place that I could be in international waters and we would still do the show from the yacht? We would get a studio in the yacht.
Yeah. I'll throw Comrex on the yacht before you head out.
For the insurance. And, of course, for the content. But, like, if I were in international waters... If I were in international waters, I don't think I'd have to pay taxes. Or HOAs or anything like that. I just have to pay for like the gas of the boat and stuff. And if we're in nice enough waters, we're not going to have to pay that much for air conditioning. So probably like just go off the like international waters of Croatia. And they'll be like, oh, American national Paul Gallant, he's always spoken highly of us. Yeah, we'll let him stay here, and he won't have to pay taxes. So that's my dream with the $36.2 million that I would get. Most expensive yacht I could possibly get for $26 million. Boom, international waters of Croatia the rest of my life, and that's where we would do the Paul Gallant show from. Boom.
Oh, we? Like, yeah. I would also be on the yacht?
Well, I mean, you could do it on the yacht, or you could do it from here. What do you think?
Huh, that is a tough choice.
Like, would you be willing to share a yacht with someone that you deal with as much as you already do?
No, actually, yeah, because now I'm...
It's a $26 million yacht. Like, we might have our own separate spaces. We don't know how much that can get for us right now.
Yeah, I'll check out the square footage of yachts in the break. But, yeah, no, when you put it like that, going from, like, I'm literally... It's like the Always Sunny bit about being on a boat with a woman. It's not a threat. It's about the implication. The implication of being on a boat with Paul in international waters, which you've really stressed how international these waters are going to be.
Very international.
No laws govern whatever you're doing.
We might become pirates.
Yeah, that is what it sounds like. It sounds like we are the pirates.
Right.
No, I don't think I would sign up for 24 hours of being...
Kind of hurt my feelings.
Yeah, with no land in sight.
Mm. Well, you'd be sort of within sight of land.
I don't think that's how international waters work. I don't think you can be within...
Oh.
That's another thing I'll look up, how international waters work. But I don't think you can, like, be, like, 50 yards off the coast, being like, international waters!
Okay.
Can't test or can't prosecute.
Okay. Listen, we're just asking the questions here. If there's any people that are familiar with international water law.
Maritime
please
lawyers.
Please call in. Yeah, maritime lawyers from Arrested Development or something like that. 713-780-3776 to call, to text in as well. You can join me on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. Coming up next, the Astros took down the Rangers 10-9 last night. Do you take the Rangers seriously? Does anyone take the Rangers seriously? Because I can't help but just laugh at them. I mean, Brandon Bielak doesn't pitch well. Phil Maton doesn't pitch well. They have this great offense. They score 9 runs and they still lost. And now the Astros are just 2 games back. You answer that question next on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, right where you belong.
The rest belongs to me. Welcome to Shawshank.